Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the breath of life that you've given us, that we even have the capacity to blow out these imaginary candles, that the breath that is in us is from you. And many times people say, I can't feel God, but all they've got to do is blow their breath into their hand and they will feel God. Because the very breath in our bodies come from you. You said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come just now and quicken us according to your word. Lord, wake us up. We're living in some very dangerous times. And your people are busy picking up pins when the house, the barn is on fire. The hay is burning. The roof is falling in the house. And your people are busy picking up pins. Or they've fallen asleep. But Lord, I hear the clarion call of the Spirit saying, wake up. Wake up. Stir yourselves up. It is the last moments of the last hour. Our priorities are wrong. We've got to quickly adjust, make adjustments. And if you don't make adjustments on the inside, you cannot make them on the outside. Many of us are so busy with the outer, but if you want lasting change, it's got to come from within. Koriobrante, vai iomokohanta haleneko. Embers, embers, embers. You've got to learn to stoke the fire in you. You've got to stir yourself up and stir up the gift of God that is in you. The flame is going out in many of you. It's going out. He said, and nobody can give you that zeal until you decide that you really want it. Because our God is a consuming fire. And when you really want me, saith the Spirit of God, when you really desire me, that fire will burn up everything that is not of me. That fire will consume everything that you've allowed to come between me and you. So do you really want to see my manifestation in your life? My relationship with many of you is very cold. If you gave the attention to your lover that you give to me, there would be no physical relationship. There would be no carnal love. I need your attention. I need your affection. I'm calling you. Deep is calling unto deep. Not only am I saying wake up, but I'm saying stay awake. Quit being distracted. Quit being distracted. And allow me to align your lives in the proper order. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're already quickening us according to your word. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done today in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Before I left and went to Texas to my brother's funeral, I had taught you part one of suffering according to the will of God. And the Lord spoke to me some things this morning. Just I've been asking him some questions, and he's been dealing with me personally because there's been so much warfare, all the warfare against the mind and the bodies of God's people. There is a lot of warfare. And one sister asked me this morning, how did your week go? I said, I've been through many dangerous toils and snares. But by the grace of God, I'm here, and I am what I am by the grace of God. And I from time to time, share with you what Huck Finn said to Tom Sawyer. Said, yeah, I've been through many things in my life. This past week, I've been through many things. And some of them actually happened. Been through many things. Some of them actually happened. But you know what? The devil is working so at this time, and I'm not here to give the devil any glory, but the Lord told me there was a turn up. There was an increase of demonic activity from Halloween when the witches and the warlocks were fasting and God's people were feasting. Curses were released. And there's been a increase. And there's another word I'm looking for, just like a hordes of evil spirits have been released. And we have not even realized we were in warfare. And it's easy to defeat an enemy who doesn't realize he's in the fight. If you're not binding the enemy, if you're not addressing him, like I went to pray for little Josiah, and I was praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal. I pray that you heal Josiah. I pray that whatever is the enemy has done to, for this door to be open, that it'll be closed. And the Lord said, quit praying to me and speak to it. So I said, spirit of infirmity, loose him. Release him. Spirit of strep throat, go from him. Spirit of pneumonia, go in the name of Jesus. And sometimes we pray when we ought to be saying. And sometimes our saying is so weak and mealy mouth. Lord, heal him. Have mercy on him, Lord. You guys just shut up. Just have mercy on him, Lord. Just heal him. I just plead the blood. Now listen, it's not so much the words you're saying, but it's the spirit behind it. Now if you're going to say it with authority. Put something in your words. Put spirit in your words. I mean, put fire in your words. Address, go to the root. Lay the axe to the root of the tree. Yes, boldness. If you really know who you are in Christ, walk like you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Talk like you are an heir. We got to get focused. And so this morning, as I continue with part two of suffering according to the will of God, I want to ask that you turn in your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. How many of you can say this morning that it's been amazing warfare in my life? And I didn't even, sometimes you didn't even realize you were in warfare. Things are just going wrong. Things are just so distracting. You're being pulled at from every direction. Or, if you don't sense that, you're disillusioned. You're discouraged. You're depressed. Something about this time of year, suicide goes up. The act of suicide increases. This time of year, around the holidays, people kill themselves. And, you know, there are a lot of missing people. I'm not going to get into that, but I did receive that video on Messenger about how many, over 75,000 black women and children are missing. And the media is not giving it any attention. And in this video, this woman was saying, there are people who are pulling up vans, pulling up by cars, and pulling up by the cars of women and snatching as they get out. Like I'm talking about the grocery store and at stores, malls, as they're getting ready to get out of the car, these people are opening up their van and snatching women and shooting them with a injection that paralyzes them, pulling them into the vehicles, driving off, and there's sex trafficking, and there's also organ. They're taking people's organs and selling people's organs, you know, like lungs and liver and kidneys, hearts. This is the kind of debauchery that's going on in this world. 75,000 people missing, and the news media is not saying anything about it. There's gross darkness covering the earth. And they're putting flyers on women's cars. Said women don't, if you come out and a flyer is on your car, do not reach out and try to take it off. They're also putting some other type of apparatus on the car. Roses. When they smell the rose, they go under. So it's some evil things going on. I'm telling you this because I want you to be alert. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Be vigilant. Be watchful. As we were coming out of the lounge, I noticed that one of my armor bearers, Sister Serena, she was just looking back and looking around. I said, what are you looking at? She said, I'm just being watchful. I'm just being vigilant, watchful, because there's so much going on. I'm just paying attention. You better, the Bible says, walk circumspectly. That's what she was doing. Walk circumspectly. That means you look around in a circle. Look around. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to your children. Pay attention to yourself. Take heed to yourselves. This is not a time to be preoccupied. Deaconess Rosemary shared with me in the lounge. She said, I run so much with my job until my immune system has been down, compromised. And when she said that to me, the Lord said this. He said, that's what's wrong with my body. You run so much that your spiritual immune system, your protection has come down. You're running so much. You got to be a steward over your body. You've got to be a steward over your soul. You've got to be a steward over your mind, your will, and your emotions. You've got to be a steward over your spirit. Now, what is a steward? A manager over another man's house. A manager. That means you've got to manage your body. Don't violate your body. Don't push your body beyond its limits. And don't nobody live in there but you. So nobody can tell you how far you can go but you. But you know when you're going beyond that your limit. You know it on the inside. You know that you when you're going beyond your capacity. Stop doing it, church. The devil is ready to take advantage of that. It's just not worth it. Your life is not worth it. You're violating the Sabbath. You're not taking the Sabbath rest every day. Every week there should be one day, at least one day, that you give your body rest. Every single week. Now, God said on the seventh day he rested. But if you can't rest on the seventh day, if you cannot, you whatever day that you have off, take that and rest your body. Don't take your off day and just push, push, push. It's the same thing with your soul. There needs to be a rest for your soul. So much is coming at us. Until if you don't give your mind a rest, if you're constantly listening, noise, the noise and pestilence, that's what the psalmist called it. Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler, the trapper of birds, and from the pestilence of noise. Noise. Always going on. If there's always something entering into your ear, I guarantee you, your ear will become spiritually dull. Your inner ear will become dull. And so there's a suffering that's according to the will of God, but there's also a suffering that is self-induced. There's a suffering that comes from the devil. There's a suffering that comes from our lack of choices or our lack of good choices. And there's a suffering that comes from us pushing ourselves too far. And we've got to be able to distinguish which one is which. So adjustments have to be made. Suffering according to the will of God. Beloved, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, do not think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. Everybody say fiery trial.
Fiery trial.
Fiery test. Which is to try you. To test you. As though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think it's strange. Now I want you to listen to this same verse in the Amplified. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something unusual and alien to you and your position were befalling you. Do not think it strange. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, to test what your spiritual quality is, to test your spiritual state. These tests, these trials, this persecution, these tests, one test right after the other. Before you can get over one thing, something else happens. That's what's going on in the body. And it's wearing the saints of God out. One thing right after the other. But he said, don't think it's strange. Don't think this is strange. Don't think this is peculiar only to you. Because no temptation, no test, trial can come upon you except such as is common to man. And the Bible says God is faithful. He will not allow you. He will not allow you, me, to be tested beyond what we're able. To be tested beyond what we're able to bear without providing a way of escape. It didn't say he would not allow us to be tested beyond what we're able. Because tests come to us, trials come to us that we are not able to bear. They do. We can't pass the test. The test is too much for us. The devil is trying to use it to wear us out, to wear the saints out. But he says he will not allow you to be tested beyond what you're able without providing a way of escape. In other words, with that test and trial comes a door, a way to escape. But sometimes you say, God, this is beyond my ability. Yes. Okay. I'm watching you. How you going to act? Are you going to get in your feelings and give up? Because with this test is a way to escape. A way of escape. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. Why is it fiery? Because the enemy releases fiery darts, the flaming darts of the wicked one. He'll take an arrow and shoot it at you. See, he's an archer, Corobo Santesque. And he'll take an arrow and shoot it at you, an arrow that is on fire. And if your armor is not on, if you're not girded up with the whole armor of God, he'll find the opening and set you on fire. A lot of the saints are burning and don't even know it. In the spirit, they got arrows in their back. And this test is to set you, to burn you up. And why is it going on? Because there's a lot of things in you that need to burn up. Why is God allowing it? He says in verse 13, but rejoice. How are we going to rejoice when our lives are on fire? It's like you look at a brother and say, brother, I smell smoke. And it's a trail of smoke following you. You've been in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were put in the fire, and the Bible said they didn't when they were clean, when they came out, a fire that was heated seven times hotter. The fire was so hot until even the people who threw them in the fire were burned up. But these men were men of God, young men of God. And they said, you might throw us in the fire, but we will not bow. And they were thrown in the fire. And the king looked and he said, I thought I told you to put three of them in the fire. And they said, we did. He said, well, I see four walking around. And one looks like the Son of God. See, Jesus got in that fire with them. Four were walking around in that fire, and none of them were on fire. Now, you think about this. They put in a furnace that was turned up 7 times hotter. And in that furnace, the king looks and they walking around and none of them are on fire. And then they looked and saw a fourth one in there with them. See, Jesus will get in the fire with you. And you will not burn up in the fire. And I'm here to tell you today, suffering is a part of God's kingdom, God's plan for you. Christianity is not a pain-free experience. Those who will love righteousness and hate iniquity, those who will press into the kingdom of God, those who will do the will of God will suffer persecution. That's what the word of God says. Those who are godly will suffer persecution. That means something pursuing you. You're being pursued by trouble. So Peter tells us to don't think it's strange. Sometimes we get to studying. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall prove to be wrong. No weapon formed will prosper. But you know why we get defeated? We get to watching the formation. And we get so focused on the formation of the weapon that we get defeated by watching it. It blows itself up and it looks so big. It magnifies itself. It amplifies itself. And it becomes a giant, and you become a grasshopper in your own eyes. So he says, but rejoice in verse 13 to the extent that you partake of whose? Now, how in the world can me being tried and tested be the sufferings of Christ? How? Let's keep reading. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you for the name of Christ. Blessed are you for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. You all have to just tolerate me. I'm gonna make it through this. I haven't preached in a few weeks, and so my throat is a little bit hoarse, but I'm gonna press through this. Just pray with me. When you don't preach, your throat doesn't stay as lubricated. Okay, I want you to stay right there, and we're going to run over to Romans and come back. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, but we're coming right back to 1 Peter. The enemy don't want you to hear this, but if you have spiritual ears, you need to hear this word because it's something you're going to need before you get out of here today. It's something you needed before you got here today. Romans chapter 8. Look with me at verse 15. For you did not, I still hear some pages turning. Are we there yet? Yes. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, for the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everybody say heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Say I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But look at that. It says if we stop with I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But look at that little word if. That means it's conditional. if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So it's not strange to be tried and tested. There are seasons of fiery tests. There are seasons when the tests are turned up and our natural mind can't understand it. There are seasons when we are tried and tested. Everybody has a different season. Everybody, we're on different levels spiritually. And sometimes we get so complacent that the Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit says, it's okay, it's your season now to be tested, to see what quality you are made of. See what quality you are in the Spirit. And so you'll be tested and you'll be tried and you'll be wondering, why me? And we are so complacent in this country. We think we're having such a hard time. We think we suffer more than, you can get a complex, a mentality of, it's almost like a Charlie Brown syndrome. A woe is me. I'm so poorly shod. I'm so foot sore. At the end of the road, there's God. Woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows. You can get to the place where you sound like one of them old hound dogs. Ooh. Nobody knows. Nobody. Oh, you may not be standing outwardly, but listen, your complexion is saying that your mood, you can have a disposition that says, nobody knows, nobody knows. Poor old me. A cloud follows you wherever you go. But I want to tell you, I want to share some suffering with you of a certain missionary that I've been studying. This woman, I'm not going to call her name. I don't feel like I need to right now. Some of you may know who she is as soon as I share this with you. But this woman, at the age of 17, she went swimming. And she took a dive in the pool and broke her neck and the middle part of her back. And she became a quadriplegic, where she could not move her hands or her legs from her waist down the rest of her life. She said that they had her strapped down on a bed, facing with her head facing the floor for days. They had her strapped down because of her broken back and the broken bone in her neck. She said she went into grave depression. A lot of people are severely depressed, chronically depressed. Medication can't get to the source of it. Medication cannot. Because it's in the spirit. But she said she went into this dark depression, and as a result of it, she was angry with God for I don't know how long. She would not even speak with God. I'm serving you, and this is what happens. She didn't know that she's going to be raised up to be a world-renowned missionary because of her story. She could take, and they could put a brush in her mouth, and she could paint with her mouth, with her teeth. She could write with her teeth. And she's gone all over the world. But I was listening last night, and even last week, and she said she went into a country. This country is so remote in Africa, this area of this country. She gave the name of it, but I had not even heard of it. This woman has suffered so much until she says that she wakes up in the morning every day. And she says, God, I need grace for this day. I need mercy for this day. Because people have to come, her attendants have to come and get her out of bed and wash her and feed, get her to where she can eat, clean her, put her clothes on, get her situated where she can sit up every single day. Now, she was 17 when this happened. and now she's in her late 50s. And she said, for 45 years, I've been sitting in a chair. That's all I do is sit. Or I lay down to go to sleep. She says, for 45 years. And she says, the depression, waves of depression come constantly. And she's learned how to fight it. She says, I tell you what. She says, music is amazing. She says, people wonder why I sing. She says, I don't sing because I want to. I sing because I have to. She says, I have to find words that are put to music that I can sing so that I can just live from day to day. She says, I have to sing to live. She says, people don't know the power that's in words put to music. And she says, the soothing, healing power of God for my soul comes day to day as I sing. Somebody said, I sing because I'm happy. She says, I sing just to live. I sing just to make it from day to day. She says, I have to sing to live, to breathe, to move, to keep myself encouraged, to build myself up. I have to sing. She said, I sing hymns, psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs, just to build myself up so I can live from day. Now, this woman has gone, done this for over 40 years now. If she is making it for over 40 years with somebody having to dress her and put clothes on her and feed her, and she's married, and her husband is her caretaker, her personal caretaker, and her husband has a word for caretakers. I'm talking about a living, quickening, life-giving word. They have a word together for marriages, how to keep your marriage alive when it seems like it's impossible. And they've learned things through suffering. The Bible says Jesus, though he were a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. There's a divine purpose in suffering if you are a child of God. Don't think that you're called just to live a life of ease. Don't think it's strange because you're going through something. God, the children of God are going through the fire. If you're going through something, somebody said, just keep going. You'll eventually come out. If you're going through something, don't sit down under it. Somebody say, how are you doing? Never say under the circumstances. You know why? Because you should not be under the circumstances. Get out from under them circumstances. That's what my daddy said. Get out from get out from under this. Get above it. Because you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So sit with him and reign and rule as kings and priests unto our God. So in Romans it says, and I'm just going to read it again. Actually, I'm going to read verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, the sufferings of Christ, God's will, the sufferings of Christ, suffering according to the will of God. Realize that because you are a child of God, you're going to be tried and tested. You're going to be tried and tested. But I want to get back to this missionary. She said, I was believing God. I believe God every day just to make it from day to day. And doors have opened to her and her husband all over the world. It's amazing. They roll her in a wheelchair. And she has even gone and ministered in the White House. And there are certain bills that have been set in place because of her testimony for those who are handicapped and those who are disabled because of her testimony. Now listen, she could have stayed under those feelings and under those emotions and depressed and never have touched a soul. But as she continued day by day, see, you got to draw on the Spirit of grace. You got to make a demand on the things of God. You're not going to be a partaker of the glory and the grace of God if you don't make a demand on his ability. You got to knock and keep on knocking. You got to seek and keep on seeking. You got to ask and keep on asking. There's got to be a zeal, a hunger for God. You got to desire God more than anything in the world, more than things of this world, because the things of this world are passing away. But you got to desire him. And you know what I heard her say? She said, I wouldn't give the thing, the intimacy that I have with God. She said, I wouldn't give away, I wouldn't take walking. I wouldn't give away my intimacy with God to be able to walk all over this earth. She said, walking and running and moving and dancing, that all of that is just temporary. But what I got with God is eternal. She said, the sweetness of knowing him. When you got to believe God every day to do what a toddler does, to do what a five-year-old can do, you got to believe God. You 40, 50 years old, and you got to get up every morning believing God. Believing God. And they roll her in wheelchairs, and she said, I went to this country. This is the testimony that I want to share, because we think we suffer. It's remote. I said, I wonder if I should write the name down, but I can't even articulate the name because I never heard of it. And I don't know if it's a country or if it's a certain area of a country, but it is in the remotest parts of Africa. And she said, I went there and they have markets in the daytime. She said, it's so remote. She said, they have markets in the daytime where people come out to the market and buy all types of things that have been woven, all types of food, plants, and people go in and buy. And she said, we were there, and she said, but in the nighttime, all of those who have their little booths and stuff, they pick all their stuff up, and they leave, but they leave the ground with junk, leftovers on the ground. And she said, I've noticed something one night. She said, and I asked those who were with me, and of course my husband, I asked them to take me out in the night when the markets were shut down and it was dark. She said, and she said, they situated me in a wheelchair, in my wheelchair, and the group that was with me, we watched. And she says, in the nighttime, I'm talking about when it's dark, and the only thing you can see is maybe some starlight. She said, out comes all of these people out of the woods and out of the bush. And she says, they come creeping out. And she says, they're lame. Some of them don't have legs, and they pull themselves with their feet. She said, some of them are lepers. They pull themselves with their hands. She said, some of them are physically challenged beyond what you can imagine. She says, and they come creeping out like night creepers. And they come creeping out, and they grab for banana peels. And they grab for whatever is left over. And they eat out of the dirt. She said, they eat, and they just get all the scraps that have been left over. And she says they literally clean up the place from eating trash that was left over. She said they don't have to have people to come and clean it the next morning. The next morning is clean because of those who are so poor, those who are so destitute, those who are so overlooked, grasping. She said, I wanted to see it another night. She said, the same thing happened. And she says, wow. And people in America think that they have a hard time. We think we're suffering. She started an organization to get wheelchairs in remote places for people like that. Brothers and sisters, we're going to stand and we're going to give an account. Where we whine because we don't like the way that tastes. How much food do we throw away? How much water do we waste without even thinking about it? How much water is wasted just while you're brushing your teeth? And water's just running. How much light do we take it for granted? Electricity just left on. We're going to give an account for that. We're so fat and sassy. I'm talking about in the spirit. We're so used to being catered to. We take so much for granted, and yet we complain because we don't like. We didn't, that chicken wasn't fried the way we like it, so we throw it away. It's whole families, and I witnessed this myself when I was doing missionary work. It's whole families that could eat off of what we throw away after dinner. Whole families in other nations, four or five families. Our portions are larger in America. We eat large portions. We want upsize everything. We want biggie and supersize, yes. And so we are supersized. We're upsized. But we're going to give an account. You think you're suffering because you're going through tests and trials? Were you able to get up this morning? Were you able to wash your own body? Some of us complain for having to do it. Some of us got to be made to do it, the children. Some of you got to be chased into the shower. Somebody got to make you take soap into the bathroom. Trying to take a shower without any soap. That's no such a shower. That's no such thing. It's people that have to do that. They have to go into the water because they ain't got nothing else. They have to go into the water and wash their bodies and come back to that same water and dip it up to drink. I saw that when I went to Africa. And wash their clothes in that same water. And look up and see an old cow standing in that same water. Ooh, we take a lot for granted. But you got up this morning. You were able to feed yourself. Some of you fed yourself too much. You were able to walk. You were able to talk. You were able to think. You were able to move. You were able to do a lot of things. Then you have the audacity to complain. Got a wardrobe. When there are people in the world living in rags. I've seen that. The people that are living in rags, you're able to make, you got a choice. In fact, you have maybe too many choices. So many choices, in fact, until you can't decide which one you want to wear on Sunday morning. I don't have nothing to wear in several outfits, all kinds of stuff in your house. We're going to give an account. But the Lord said to me this morning, he says that we don't take inventory and judge ourselves, we're going to be judged. Not only in this life, but in the next life. Judgment is going to come to us. How do I know that? I'm going to close out with this. Rejoice to the extent that you were partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, verse 13 in 1 Peter 4, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and the spirit of God rest upon you. If you are reproached, verse 14. If you are insulted, if you're talked about for the name of Christ, if you're suffering because you bear the name of Christ, he says you're blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. And they, when they reproach you, they're blaspheming the spirit of God in you. When they insult you, it's something about you that they hate. You got the spirit of the holy God living in you. The Bible says that when Jesus was on earth, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelt in him fully. That's amazing to me that they could decouple like that and yet be one in him. He had the fullness of God in him. He brought the fullness of the Godhead in his body to the earth and showed, he was an example to us of how we should suffer according to the will of God. He suffered. Jesus suffered. The Bible says he was despised, rejected by men. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrow. And he was acquainted with grief. In other words, he was grieved and sorrow. He knows what rejection is. He knows what it is to be talked about. He was wounded, the Bible says, in the house of his own familiar friends. We talking to Peyton about that last night. You be ready, because it's going to happen. You're going to be rejected by those who you call friends. Well, I don't really have anybody like that. We said, just keep living. Just keep living, because it's going to happen. We're trying to prepare you for it so that it doesn't shock you when friends, those that you trusted, get jealous of you because you excel and outdo them. And jealousy is cruel. The Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. In other words, what the grave does to a body, a physical body, jealousy will do to you. What does the grave do to the body? It eats it up. It corrodes it. It disintegrates. And if you keep somebody in your life that's jealous of you, they'll eat you up. It's murder. Jealousy will cause somebody to murder you. So don't think it's strange. It says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. When you suffer because you kill somebody, that's not suffering for Christ. That's suffering because of you. You did it. You're guilty. You got to be judged by the system. You got to pay the price. You made the wrong choice. He says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief. If you're a thief and somebody catch you stealing, you can't say I'm suffering for Christ. You stole. And got caught. That's not suffering for Christ. An evildoer, if you do evil and Christ don't have nothing to do with each other. There is no darkness in him. A busybody, you know, if you're a busybody, you're going to suffer. Get ready, suffering is going to come to you. If you're a busybody, a meddler in other people's affairs. If you don't study to mind your own business. Don't you have enough business that you keep your nose in it? If you don't have enough business that you got to put your nose in other people's business, then you need to get you some business. One sister told me that. She said, you know, Mom, I'm going to go down to the Target and buy you a box of business. She said, I'm going to buy a box of Kleenex and just put business on it. I'm going to bring it to you. That's a relationship I guess she had with her mother. But, no, I know you wouldn't. You like living. You love life and good days. None of you suffer as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, in verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, a follower of Christ, you got, yes, Christ-like, because you're like Jesus, and it's showing. How do they know you're Christians? By your love. That's what the Bible says. Because you love people, they'll know you're Christians. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In other words, praise God and give God the glory. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? I thought about this yesterday. I was meditating on this. How many scarcely saved people do you know? Just barely saved. Just barely saved. Just right on the line. I guess we could preach a message on just barely saved, just barely getting along in Christianity. Not giving anything to it. Not putting yourself into the lifestyle of Christianity. Your words, your thoughts. Did you know the Lord told me? He says every word that you speak, the Bible says it, you're going to give an account for in the day of judgment. Every idle word that you speak, you're going to give an account. Every time you say something that is not Christ-like, you not only wound the Holy Spirit, but you wound your spirit. And you wound the spirits of others. You defile people with what comes out of your mouth. Bitter and sweet water shouldn't come out of the same fountain, James said. With your words, you'll be justified. Or by your words, you'll be condemned. So he says, if the righteous are scarcely just, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live just barely saved. I don't want to stand before him just barely made it in by the hair of my chinny chin chin. What kind of rewards do you think you're going to receive? You're going to stand before Jesus with your knees knocking. Lord, I just barely made it in. Lord, have mercy. I just made it. I'm so thankful. Just give me a corner in the kingdom of heaven. Just give me a corner in anywhere. I eat the crumbs from the master table because I just barely made it here. But at least I didn't go to hell. Pitiful. Pitiful. What do you think you're going to go through? Do you think you're going to go right into the kingdom and receive all the joy and all the glory? Somebody said who was it in the kingdom of God? They were taken into heaven. I'll have to share this with you, but it was one of God's prophets. They met him in the kingdom of heaven, and he was not receiving as much joy as the other people because he was always grieved. I don't know if it was Jeremiah, but they met one of them. They said he was not perfected. Do you know that they without us cannot be perfected? That's what the book of Hebrews says. There's coming a time, even in the kingdom of God, where we're going to go from grace to grace and we're going to be judged and receive our gifts. But you're going to be surprised at your capacity to receive. Your capacity to receive in heaven is being determined now. How much can you receive is going to be determined by how much you have given here on earth. You're going to be surprised when you finally make it to heaven that you still got to go to school. Oh, yeah. You're still going to have to learn some things. There are levels. Oh, salvation is the same penny. It's the same penny. Don't make no mistake about it. There are going to be joys and glory. The Bible says joy unspeakable and full of glory. But not everybody's going to get the same rewards. I'm going to finish this out. If the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according. Yeah, I'm waiting for y'all. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. There is suffering that is according to the will of God. There is suffering where God puts you in a hard place, and you know what he expects you to do? Stay there. God expects you to man up. He expects you to woman up. There are places where God puts you in. He allows you to be put in the fire to test your quality, to burn up the chaff, get all the junk out of you that you can't get out. There's mess in us that we can't see. All of us are blind to certain things. When you just think you're so full of love and so patient, you get put in a spot where stuff come out of you you didn't know was ever there. But on the inside, you felt so calm and said, God, you said, God, forgive me. I didn't know this was there. Listen, brothers and sisters. He said, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him. Commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. We've got to commit our souls. How do we do it? Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I commit my soul to you. I commit my mind to you. I commit my will to you. I commit my emotions to you. I commit my body to you. I present my body as a living sacrifice unto you, O Lord. I'm suffering. This thing doesn't seem to go away. But the word of God says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. This is the will of God. The will of God is to give thanks, not for the trial, not for the suffering, but in the midst of it, you'll come to a place where you'll be like this prophetess, this woman of God. She says, I sing to live. I sing not because I'm happy. I sing and I worship God so that I can every day face a life where my body will not cooperate, where my body will not move. There's some mountains in your life that will not move until you learn to worship God right in the midst of your suffering. Like the Apostle Paul says, I will praise him right in the midst of trials, of testing, of tribulation. I give glory to God. He was called up into the third heaven. He saw things that were not lawful for men to see. And because of that, a messenger of Satan was appointed to him. He sought God three times for this thing to depart from him. But God said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect where you're weak. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I do what? Give glory. Rejoice in my tribulation, in testing, in trial. For he said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. See, we're afraid to embrace our weakness. We're afraid to embrace where we are right now. Yes. Yes, I'm in this place. Yes, I'm not further along than where I want to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. So I'm going to praise God anyhow. There are better days for me. There are better days for me. I'm not perfect, but I'm in the process of being perfected. Be patient with me. Don't look at me and point out my error. The point out what's going on with me when there's something worse going on with you. Amen. Make sure that you walk circumspectly. Yes. Take heed to yourself. Yes. And quit taking heed to everybody else around you. Yes. Judge yourself. Amen. Father, I'm not where I need to be. Yes. I'm not spending the time in prayer that I need to. Yes. I'm not giving your word the attention that I need to. I'm more focused on my circumstances than I am what the word says. I'm deluded because I'm not a doer of the word. I hear it, but I don't do it. So I'm self-deceived. That's what James said. If you hear the word and you don't do it, you'll deceive yourself. You're living in a life of deception. I lie. I lie every day. Maybe not with my tongue, but I act a lie. I pretend that I'm something that I'm not. Get real with God. Because you're already naked before him. He already sees what's in you. And if you can see it, if he gives you the eyes to see, you're blessed if you can see what's wrong with you. You're blessed if you think a thought and the Holy Spirit immediately convicts you. And you go ahead and repent right there and not let it out of your mouth. You're blessed. But if he puts you in the fire, if you don't stand the test, if you don't learn to self-control and allow that fruit to be developed in you. Brothers and sisters, you'll go from trial to trial, test to test, and God will burn all that mess out of you. But I'm telling you, you got to get real with God. We've got to get real with God. What good does it do for you to hear the word and not do it? What good does it do? What good is it going to do you? That's when we become self-deceived. Amen. That's when we deceive ourselves. That's when we believe a lie. Yes. We deceive ourselves because we're not doing what the word says do. Yes. We're not living it out. We're living a lie. Yes. And as a result, the enemy comes in like a flood. He's coming in like a flood because he is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And he's got the children of God acting a lie. Pretending. Pretending that you're something you're not. You don't have to pretend. If you are in Christ, you are a king and priest, or a queen and a priest unto our God. You don't have to pretend. Lord, have mercy on us all. Judge yourself, and you'll not be judged. Judge yourselves, he said, and you will not be judged. How many lies have you embraced? How many lies have I embraced? See, this word was preached to me first. The Lord dealt with me first. You just getting the whipping that I got. I'm whipping you because, I mean, he whipping you because he whipped me. But Lord, you see, this MS, I just can't seem to get. When I started listening to this prophetess, I thought, man, I am blessed among women. I can't seem to move beyond the fact that I can barely walk. Well, at least I can walk. There's a lot of things. I can't move as fast as other people, but you just wait, and I like the tourists, I'll get there. And I see a whole lot of things that you miss on the way. That's the truth. A whole lot of things. There are cracks. There are stumbling places all on the concrete. There are things that could cause you to lose your balance. I mean, you move so fast, you skip over it. But you see all kind of things that you don't see when you move real fast. And the same thing is in the spirit. When your body can't move real fast, you'd be surprised what babies see sitting down in them strollers. From their, you'd be surprised how they see life from that level. You'd be surprised. They see all kind of things. All kinds of things. I never will forget. I'm gonna close with it. We were getting ready to go into a movie when we had a young family. I think Anthony was about this high. Yeah, he's about this high. We were getting ready to go into a movie, and there was this woman, very portly. She was standing in front of us. Her hips were woo. She was standing there. And we wasn't paying no attention. And her hips were about Anthony's eye level. And it was a lot of hip. And after a while, Anthony just, I don't know, he just couldn't resist it. He took his hand and just, he just scooped up under there. Oh, my Lord. We thought that woman, we looked around and saw what he did. And she thought it was maybe Bishop Ralph. I don't know. But that woman got so upset, and we looked at what he did. So, oh, we're so sorry. That was our son. We're so sorry. But he just saw something we didn't see. And I guess he decided, I'm going to touch it and see if it's real. So I'm telling you, sometimes we see things that you don't see. But we're smart enough to not touch it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Yeah. I hope you can. Bishop Ralph said he was holding Anthony's hand, so the woman thought it was him. He was holding his other hand, so the woman thought it was him. But anyway, we got out of that. God just got us out of that situation. Hope that's okay with you, Anthony. It's told anyway. Everybody know it now. Listen, there are some people that need to repent. There are some people who need to repent before we go. For complaining, instead of learning to sing, so that you can live, so that you can stand before God. Singing brings intimacy with God. I'm not talking about singing any, you know, chitty chitty bang bang. I'm talking about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Learning to worship God. When nothing else works, when you have prayed, when you stand, when you've spoken the word and nothing else works. I heard Pat Robinson say this, and I believe it. The woman said, I've done everything I know to do. I believe God, I pray, and this particular thing just keeps happening. It won't leave me. He says, stay in worship. Yes. Worship will eventually break that. Yes. Nothing like worship can break when the enemy is coming against you. Nothing like worship to break it. Pure worship. Worship music. And praise and worship, pure, not just anything, but it's got to be anointed. That's one thing that does bless me, being out of my boots when I listen to, out of my shoes or house shoes, that really blesses me when I listen to Kanye's Sunday services and the worship. Oh my goodness, the worship, there's an anointing on it. Don't tell me it's not God. It's so pure. And so I'm telling you, God, I believe that's a move of God. I really do. And I believe the youth are going to come forth. And I see them dancing. And I see that choir dancing. I mean, and they are worshiping God. It's moving all over the world. They're even hearing it. It's stirring people in Russia, in Africa, all over the world. They're watching, watching. Well, why in the world did God take somebody like Kanye? He takes the foolish things. Yes. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Yes. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Yes. And so how many of you are willing to be one of them foolish things for God to use? You might as well say it because you are a foolish thing. You're born a foolish thing. Foolishness of God. But God wants you at this time, if you've been guilty of complaining or taking for granted the blessings of God, if you're in trial, if you've been in trial and been tested, Lord have mercy. God says you need to step out of the place that you're in. Yes, you need to step out of the place that you're in. He said he will bring you out if you'll take that move, make that move. Don't stay where you are, even if it's not enough room in the altar place. He says, step. He says, even come up on the platform. He says, but step up out of the place that you're in. Step out of it. The stepping out is prophetic. Move. In him we move, live and move and have our being. Step out of that place. Come on out of it. Come out of that place. If you can't do nothing but move to the aisle, step out of the place that you're in and allow God, to break this thing. Orobo shantese neke prese. Odo do shantese meke. Orobo shantese meke robo haya. Hande de ne sete eko. O borotasa. Hande ne sete ekanso. By moving, you've already judged yourself. By making that step, you've already judged yourself. And you don't have to be judged. God says, you're going to come. It's time. Just by you making this move, this step, you're moving out of that place. You're moving out of that place of trial where you've been tried, and sometimes it's been beyond what you're able. You've been tested beyond your ability. God says, you're gonna see the door of escape. You're gonna see the way of escape by just being obedient and moving. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. He says, by making this step, by just making this step, God says, you have moved into a new place spiritually. It's time for the chapter to end. It's time for this test to be over. It's just time for some things to be over. Some things you've just gone through too long. You've been in the fire too long, some of you. You've been tried beyond your ability. But God says it's time for it to be over. I want you to repeat this prayer while you're up here. Father,
Jesus,
have mercy on me.
I am thankful
that as I have judged myself, I don't have to
continue
any longer
in that place
of trial
and
testing
beyond what I'm able.
Lord,
I'm worn out.
My soul is lean.
Is lean.
My soul
has been tried
in the fire,
in the fire.
In the repetition
of cycles.
Over
and over
and over. I've been tested
and tried.
Satan
has come
and asked for me
to sift me
like wheat.
But I thank you, Jesus,
that you have prayed for me.
That my faith wouldn't fail.
So I'm still standing.
By the grace of God.
I've been sifted.
Like wheat.
And now.
That chaff.
That rubbish.
That is in my flesh.
Has been sifted out.
Not by works.
Of righteousness.
Which I've done.
But by your mercy,
I've been sifted.
By your mercy,
you saved me.
And I thank you.
It's done.
Jesus,
Son of David,
have mercy on me.
Son of the Salt Covenant,
have mercy on me.
I thank you
that I'm cleansed.
I'm washed.
I'm tried.
It's over.
It's a new season.
It's a new cycle.
It's a new day.
This chapter
is over.
This book
is closed.
I'm moving on
from grace to grace,
from faith to faith,
from glory to glory.
I'm moving on
from strength to strength.
I'm moving on
right now.
I'm moving
through a spiritual door
that is open to me.
Doors
are being opened
that no man
can
shut.
And doors
are being closed
that no man
can open.
The past
is behind me.
The future
is ahead of me.
And the future
is bright.
And where I am now
is not where I was.
It's a new season.
It's a new day.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
The trial.
The lack.
The stress.
The habits.
The habits.
The financial trouble.
The financial trouble.
The marriage problems.
The marriage problems.
The problems in school.
The problems in school.
The problems with my body.
The problems with my body.
The problems with my relationship.
The problems with my relationship.
The cycle.
The cycle.
Is over.
It's over.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Give God the praise. It's over. Glory to God. Now release. I release to you.
Hallelujah.
Newness.
Thank you,
of life. I release to you.
Hallelujah.
The newness.
Thank you, Lord.
A new beginning. A new, everybody say a new beginning.
A new beginning.
A new day.
A new day.
A new opportunity.
A new opportunity.
Eyes to see.
Ears to hear.
Ears to hear.
And a heart to understand.
And a heart to understand.
It's mine.
It's mine.
Satan.
Satan.
I'm new.
I'm new.
Go.
Go.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.